longs for the good old days. Be proud. Come raise your hand. Mike, if you're going to be proud, you're going to get this. You're like a young Joshua. You long for the good old days? Wow. Now, three people. Yeah, it's very interesting when you think about your past. A lot of times, I believe that we romanticize the things back in the day. I think about that sometimes, and I wonder, yeah, there are things in the past that I really, but you know what I not miss? Reading the backs of shampoo bottles. Propyl betaine, ammonium laureth sulfate, ammonium laurel, wait, why is that printed twice? There's twice, oleic glucoseth 10, fragrance, methyl chloroisoliazoline, methyl isoliethylisoline. So do you remember back in the day when you had to go to the bathroom, what did you do? I grabbed shampoo. Like, I know, I'm the only person that does that. Because it was, what else are you going to do when you're sitting in the bathroom? What was that? Yeah, I don't have a magazine. Do you know why I don't have a magazine rack anymore? Cell phone. So what do? When I'm on, yep, I surf TikTok, which is really sad because what ends up happening is I think I end up being on the bathroom longer than I'm really supposed to be because that's when all you guys' eggs start going numb. Not you, but I know this is you. Don't you lie about this at all. I think we sometimes think about the past and we ask that I am glad are over. I so vividly remember my final day of school, of seminary, college. After college, everyone's graduating and they're all excited and everyone's like, yay, no more tests and no more books and no more teachers' dirty looks and everyone's cheering and what do? I'm like, oh, my vicarage, I'm going to grad. Vicarage is an internship where for an entire year, no reports. No books that aren't required to read. Back to the seminary was glory for a final year of education. And I am just plodding through this stuff. And every day I'm like, when will this end? Do you, some of you still in school, do you ever feel that way? Oh, I am so glad that part is over. I'm so glad that I don't have deadlines anymore. I'm so glad I don't have to read books anymore. I guess I'm still doing all things, just in a totally different format. When we think about our past, we sometimes think we had back then. Israelites had this very, very difficult problem of romanticizing the past. Or its past really consisted of being enslaved in Egypt, being brickmakers who had no freedoms whatsoever, who were beaten and whipped. When they get out into the wilderness and they're finally freed after Moses and that whole Pharaoh incident and the 10-step program to get them out, they're out wandering, and what is it that they start doing? Oh my gosh, they're complaining. And we had it, but wait. You were in slavery. Oh, but man, we could eat. Yes, but you could only eat what they gave. I think sometimes we romanticize the past in such a way that we fail to see what the future holds. And we actually do everything in our power to forget the past. Maybe it was something as terrible. A parent died when you were young. Or maybe you were just caught up in lots and lots of sins. I'm with dread. And when people ask about what was it like for you growing up, you quickly clam up and Jesus is greater than your past. And that size past that you thought was so wonderful and so great that sometimes you end up getting so focused on it that you can't see the blessings and the. And the writer of Hebrews is trying to say, look, God has a better plan in store for you, but you've got to not let the past then hold you back in front of you. And it's also for those who dread the past, who are trapped in sin, who just absolutely despises family reunions because of all of the emotions it stirs up. Jesus is greater than that as well. He will not erase it, but he will allow you to see how it can become something that moves you forward. That's the. Therefore, holy brothers who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus. Think on, meditate on. A lot of times we don't really ponder anything anymore, right? Because one, just scroll down that feed. Let's just move on to the next news story. And he's trying to say, let's stop and think. I'm glad about how great. I don't know about you, but the time I think about Jesus the most is when I'm at church. But it's not supposed to. Let's talk about Sunday activity, right? And he says that Jesus, the apostle and high priest whom we confess. It is interesting that this is the only place, 12 apostles, but he's an apostle. And really, it's just trying to give you the concept of Jesus is someone who is sent. I am going to go. Apostle has a connotation of something akin to a missionary who is sent out to go and do things. And Jesus was obviously sent out. Jesus didn't that I love you. Jesus was actually sent. He was sent down here to this earth in order to demonstrate and show his love. So Jesus is to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Jesus has been Moses. Found words greater than Moses. Now that doesn't sound very exciting to us. I mean, who here would say Jesus is greater than Moses? That's not a controversial statement. Is greater. So why is the writer of Hebrews bringing that? What does Moses have to do with this? Well, again, Moses was a very revered leader. Moses with him, one who had this special one who actually went and was in his presence. And there was a time he was in his presence for so long, he came down a mountain and he was literally glowing over your head because the brightness that you have is just too much. Moses was also the one who was the this covenant. He was the one about how we live our life. And he was also someone who tended to the house of God. And the writer of Hebrews is trying to say, Jesus is greater than that. Just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. Who are the people here that are my nature lovers? Only a couple. Okay, oh yeah, you say you like nature. What does this mean? Like you like being out in nature. What is the greatest thing in nature that you've been able to see? Yosemite. That's it, Yosemite. It's the only thing in this world that. Andrina?
Niagara Falls,
okay. I have not been to Niagara Falls. We came really close to going, but I hear it's just a waterfall, so not very impressed. No, I'm just kidding. I say that because I haven't actually been there. Okay, what else? Bryce Canyon. Alaska. Grand Canyon. I've seen that too, just briefly. It's a big hole in the ground. What's the big deal? No, I'm just kidding. You look at this and you are amazed. One of these days I would love to see, has anyone here seen the Aurora Borealis? Henry, did you actually see that? Wow. I mean, that's pretty cool. I mean, there are lights in the sky, but it's something amazing. Jesus is greater than those things. You can admire the house all you want. You can admire the creation all you want, but there is someone who actually made it. And yet sometimes with God, we're like, oh, yeah, God created everything. Are you kidding me? God created Niagara Falls, the Aurora Borealis, Grand Canyon, Bryce Canyon. Bryce, is that right? Bryce Canyon? Yeah. God created all of that. God, Jesus, is greater. And then it talks about how Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, testifying to what would be said in the future. But Christ is faithful as a son over God's house. In other words, who has greater honor? Someone who is a servant, who is serving a master, or someone who is a son or a daughter of the master? The one who is biologically related. Moses tended to God's house, and he was a servant of God, and he did really well being a servant of God, but it is greater to be called a daughter or a son of the master. It's greater to be called the children of God as opposed to being the servants of God. This is the reason why when this language shows up, and to be sure, I think we would all say we're still servants, right? We still serve God, we worship God, we praise God, we do stuff and live our lives. But you have been given special treatment because you have been now adopted as God's children. You are now a daughter or a son of the King. And then it goes on about how there's these warnings, especially from the past. So as the Holy Spirit says, I'm in verse 7. So as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me and for 40 years saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation. And I said, their hearts are always going astray and they have not known my ways. So I declare on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. He is asking us to be better than the past. He is saying Jesus can overcome those things in the past. For those of you who sit around and whine about how things are going today, Jesus says, God says, don't whine like the people in the wilderness who couldn't see the blessings that were there in front of them. And because they were so focused on all the garbage happening around them, that they never got a chance to enter into the promised land. Now, I don't know about you, but I needed to hear this week. I don't know if you know this about me, but there are times that I do actually whine. I complain about how things are going. Maybe you don't like the political climate. Maybe you don't like the way the pandemic has affected your life. Maybe you are upset because the Raiders are going to beat the Steelers. Maybe you are upset at the way your parents treat you. Maybe you are upset because your kids are rotten. Maybe you are upset because you never seem to have any time to yourself because you are always jumping up and chasing after your daughter. Sorry, I just did that because, I saw Becca jump up and chase after her daughter. We have this tendency to look at our lives and just simply bemoan where we're at. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, don't harden your heart. Don't become whiners. Don't focus on your circumstances so much that all you do is long for the good old days, because let's face it, the good old days were actually not that good. That's what he's trying to say. The Israelite nation, yes, was there challenges? Of course, they're wandering through a desert. Is it challenging? Sure, because they have to rely on God to provide manna every single day. Are they upset because they can't save for the future? Sure, because every time they gathered more than they needed, it would go rotten the next day. Did they get upset because they had to rely and build their faith on God and trust in Him that He was going to provide water for them? Absolutely. Were they upset because they had to keep setting up and tearing down their camp constantly? Oh, yeah. But it's better than the past. It's better than where we were. And hopefully for you and where you're at in life now is that things can be looked at in such a way that I am better now than I was 5, 10, 15 years ago. Don't raise your hand because I think it's just something that you should self-reflect on. I've done this myself, thinking about this all week. Am I better off as a child of God now than I was in the past? And if I'm not, is that because I'm trapped in sin, whining about my circumstances, or just simply fail to see how good God is? When I think about my life now, I think of how it's so radically different. In our house, we have this wall, and it's right to, when you're in the living room, and when you're going into the back, whether you're going to the bathroom or you're going to the bedrooms, there's this wall, and it's got all these picture frames on it. And what I like about the particular picture frames that we have up is it's scrolling through all of these pictures from the past. And I like some of the pictures. Some of the pictures show a time when I used to be the tallest person in my family. I see pictures of Mark Thomas at Disneyland, or Jacob holding a trophy from Little League, or Joshua in his Charlie Brown shirt because he was doing some acting. And sometimes I find myself, Heather does it way more than me, sometimes I find myself just staring at that going, wow, those were good times. But then sometimes I find myself slipping and saying, I wish I could go back, because I've romanticized it. There are things about the past that I hated. When we'd go to Disneyland and all three children would fall asleep at the same time. And how did we do it? You would carry Mark Thomas and I would carry Jacob and Joshua. So we're going to recreate that. Jacob, Joshua. I hated that, and what was really hard is you'd have to get out of Disneyland and then walk to the tram, get on the tram, then get off the tram and walk to the car, which usually took another 37 hours, and then get them in and drive home, and the whole time I'm like, I'm about to die. I cannot do this anymore. And I'd get home, and then Heather would instantly fall asleep, but I'm all wired up and exhausted. I also think back when Jacob was doing swimming. I hate swim meets. I think they are, yes. I think it's great for swimmers, but not for parents of people who are in swim. It's terrible. And there were times that I'd have to constantly drive Joshua to all of these rehearsals, and I'm like, please, when will this end? Well, it has. And we look back and we wonder what happened. And I think sometimes we fail to see all of the stuff that's happening right there in front of us because we are so focused on what we don't have. Jesus is greater than the circumstances you are in. Jesus is greater than the past that you've romanticized. Jesus is greater than all of the troubles you find yourself in now. Jesus is greater. And when you stop and you think about all that you have, you become a little less whining. I think about the people wandering through the wilderness. Who here would like to have food dropped from heaven for you on a daily basis? Anyone? What would you like? Just let's go out. Well, honey, let's go gather some food. And you walk outside and you pull up the manna. And remember, what is, you've heard me say this. What do I think manna is like? It's frosted flakes. It's like coriander seed smashed, a little sweetened, like little flakes of dewdrop. It's frosted flakes. And it was also called angel. That's what the angels would eat. Don't ask me the mechanics on that. But angels love frosted flakes. Oh, man. Just go out and grab some. Wouldn't that be great? 40 years. Yeah, that's what they did. Because then they started saying, I'm tired of having frosted flakes every single day. But yet, they're like, Jesus, can you maybe like throw down a double-double every now and then? That would be fantastic. But I think it's interesting because sometimes the blessings that we have, we somehow turn them around and we become tired of them. And we become weary of them. We become weary of the Disneyland trips and the baseball games. And instead of seeing all that great stuff right there in front of us, we focus on what we don't have. I'm thankful that for the past couple weeks doing this reading through the Bible thing. Who's doing the reading through the Bible with me? Yeah, okay, good. If you're not, that's okay. You're just a substandard Christian. That's okay. No, I'm just kidding. You're not. You're probably greater than me. You know I like to say stuff like that. But I tell you, staying in God's Word has helped me focus a little bit more on what God is doing right here, right now. And I see someone like Mark Thomas who has this incredible joy in his life. And I see Jacob who's becoming this young man and this pastor. And I'm watching as Joshua's drawing and doing stuff that blows my mind away. And I look and see how my faith has been transformed through the years to just be this quiet acceptance of all that God is doing. And so I'm trying my best not to long for the good old days, but to say, God, what are you doing right here, right now that is great? We have a tendency to do this when we hit anniversary milestones, like we will when we talk and meet on October 17th, 50 years of blessings from the preschool, 20 from the church. I'll tell you, there's some things about the old Searchlight that I'm really glad are done. Probably the biggest one is the setup and tear down garbage, man. That just wears on you quick. Jacob, God's like, the stuff Jacob had to do, that is insane. I liked it, and I'm thankful for all that God did, but I'm glad that God has us here right now to do something great. Do you need to stop looking at the past, either in a romanticized way or in a dreading way? Do you need to stop looking at your current circumstances as stuff that is terrible and realize what's happening now is Jesus is doing works in yours and my life because Jesus is greater than the past? And he, in verse 11, I'll reread that. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. I think sometimes we feel that we never enter rest because we never allow God to just simply be in our lives. We never get a chance to enjoy because we're always pining for something different or romanticizing the past, or we're stuck in our sin and we can't seem to see why things are not good. And that's why the writer of Hebrews, verse 12, see to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. I think sometimes we fail to enter into what God has because we simply have a distrust. What will happen when we give ourselves completely to God? What happens when we trust in Him with everything? And because we don't, we fail to really relax and enjoy the life that God has given. Some of it is because we are sin-filled and we are doing some really dumb choices. And in the midst of those dumb choices, your life is chaotic. And you're like, things are just not going, because all you can think about is the sin that you are trapped in. And God says, I want to get you out of that. Don't engage in that. Don't be a part of that. God has something better in mind for you. But you say, I can't think of my life without this sin. And God says, I can't think of your life with that sin. I want to see you enjoy the life that I'm giving you without all the stuff from the past. It's time to let it go. Why hold on to it anymore? There's a better life for you. And if you don't believe me, you can ask anyone over the age of 50 who looks back on their life and says, you know, when I did stuff in the past and I was trapped in sin and I didn't know if there was a way out and things were chaotic and my life was ruined and a mess, but when I came to Jesus and he forgave all that and I started something new and different and I was released from all of that, they will tell you of how great things have been since that time. I guarantee it. Let go of the sinful, unbelieving heart. And then encourage one another. Verse 13, encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. How often should we be encouraging people? Every day. The word for encourage does not mean send a text to. I think that is a great way to encourage, sending texts, posting stuff on Facebook. Facebook, for all you young people, that's what us old people use to keep in touch with one another. The word for encourage means to come up alongside someone. So if you find someone who is struggling, if you find someone who is trapped in sin, if you find someone who has an unbelieving heart, you know what you should do? You should sit with them, stand next to them, but we're really good at shaming. We're really good at guilting. We're really good at making sure everyone knows how bad they are because it makes us feel so good and so self-righteous. You know what's harder? Standing alongside someone. I'm going to encourage you. Not standing alongside of them, cheering them in their sin. Oh, you're doing a great job in that sin. That cliff is really close. You're almost there. You're going to be over it soon. No. Standing alongside of them says, I love you. I care for you. What is going on is wrong. And that's what Jesus does. That's the reason why when you enter into a sin and you don't feel so good, you know what that is? That's called the Holy Spirit. It's not Jiminy Cricket sitting on your shoulder. This is Jesus. This is God saying, there's a better life that you can have. He doesn't cast us away. He doesn't say, well, too bad for you. I guess you're not going to enjoy this. He comes alongside of you, and he lives a life and dies a death so that you can be fully and completely forgiven. So he encourages us daily. And I don't know, maybe you're just not hearing it. Maybe you're not seeing it. Maybe the chaos of the world around you is drowning out the voice of Jesus telling you how much he loves you and wants to see great things for you. Jesus is encouraging you daily. We should do the same. Verse 14, we have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end the confidence we had at first. As has just been said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. If you're sitting here right now saying this is a great message for someone else, stop and start allowing this message to be for you, because it starts with God breaking down our own hardness, our own rebellious nature. Because even though we are forgiven, even though we are loved, even though we are people of God and daughters and sons of the creator of this world, We still have problems we face, problems and sins we engage in, and it starts with us saying, Lord, what do I need to work on? Not what does my husband need to work on. Your husband needs a lot of work. I understand that. What do I need to work on? Gosh, my kids really need to listen. No. God, what do I need to do? How do I need to change? Oh my gosh, my parents drive. No. What do I need to do? We harden our hearts and deflect God's Spirit because it's easier than allowing God to love us. Because most of us don't believe that we're worthy of that love. But He does. And start saying, this is for me. God, my heart is hard and I need help. And can you change it so that I can be your child? And so that I can encourage other people around me, so that I can let go of my past and start looking forward to the future as I fix my eyes on Jesus. Amen. Thank you. By the way, you can do that at any time you want. I'm just saying. Verse 16, who were they that heard and rebelled? Were they not all that Moses led out of Egypt and with whom he was angry for 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the desert? Do you see how he's talking about Jesus is greater than your past with Moses as they're wandering around, they're stuck in sin, they're romanticizing the past, and it caused them to just simply get stuck. But no, ultimately, and to whom did God swear they would never enter his rest if not to those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. But then what actually happens? They do believe. They trust in God. At first, they see giants and problems in the land. And finally, they come back and they say, no, I see a land that God has given to us and that we are supposed to be taking into and that we are supposed to be possessing. And God has a future for you that he wants you to take a hold of. But that means you got to go of the past. You need to stop reading the shampoo bottles. You need to stop thinking that everything was either so terrible in the past or so good in the past and say, God, right here, right now, what do I need to do? And he says, look at Jesus, ponder Jesus, think on Jesus. Because Jesus is greater than all of your pasts. He's greater than my past. And praise God that he is. Will you pray with me? Father, forgive us for often getting stuck, getting trapped. Forgive us because we often whine and complain about the things going on, but and it's everyone else's fault. But Lord, our hearts are hard and our hearts are stubborn, and we need to simply come to you and receive. Again, the reassurance that you have called us your children. Lord, some people here have a past pretty bad, and they're wondering, can you even forgive it? They're even wondering, should they even try? Because they're worried, what will life be like without sin constantly dominating them? And you're just telling them, come and see. So, Lord, we thank you that you are greater than our sin. You are greater than our past. You are greater than Moses. You are greater than the law. You're greater than our abilities to try to please you. You are greater than the stupid choices we made 5 years ago. You are greater than the stupid choices we made 5 minutes ago. And now we can look around this world and see something new because we see it through the eyes of Jesus, that we are to encourage and build up and lift one another up. But it starts with us letting go of our hardened, stubborn, rebellious heart and saying, God, I am yours. Use me as you see fit. Thank you that you give us that opportunity today to let go of the past and to see the future that you have for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're now going